Well, if you have your Bibles tonight and you would turn with me to the book of Psalms, you can go ahead and be seated. You can turn me to the book of Psalms. I am going to talk for a few moments from the first chapter of the book of Psalms tonight. And it's one of my, I probably teach on this or go through this about once a year. I don't think that would be an exaggeration to say that about once a year I revisit this chapter because I love the beginning of this chapter. I love the whole chapter, but the first verse alone in this chapter is a fantastic verse. And it's such a clear verse. It doesn't really leave room for too many other kinds of interpretation. It's a pretty clear verse. And so I try to revisit it because it's just such a good verse to teach principles on how to be happy or blessed in life. And in fact, it starts off, it says, blessed is the man. And I mentioned, I think, a couple Sundays ago, or Tuesdays, whenever it was, when I was preaching, that blessed there, in the Hebrew language, they do not use punctuation the way we use it. They do not use periods. They do not use exclamation points. They don't use them like we use them in English. It's a poetic language. And so it's the way that the language is written. It's actually the structure of it, the length of the line, and the way the lines are formed when they're written. That is one of the things that tells you what is to be emphasized and where they are to pause and those kind of things in the reading of the language. But then when words are used doubly, in other words, when Jesus says, verily, verily, I say unto thee, or truly, truly, I say unto thee, that was his way of putting an exclamation point at the end of the sentence. That was his way of kind of shouting it, I guess, you know, exclaiming it. Truly, truly, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, or verily, verily. And so when he said that, they understood that that was his way of putting the exclamation point at the end of the sentence. And if we were to go back to the real Hebrew and to see the way it was written, the word blessed is actually the word happy, happy used two times in a row. That's really the way it is written. Happy, happy is the man. Now, I don't know about you, but I want to be a happy, happy man. Because we live in a world that isn't happy, happy. In fact, we live in a country that certainly is not happy, happy right now. But I want to be a happy, happy person. Turn to your neighbor and tell him you ought to be happy, happy. Don't just be happy, but be happy, happy. You ought to be doubly happy. You ought to be very happy. Notice, you need to be exclamation point happy. That's really what the writer is saying, is you need to, don't just be happy. He's screaming it at you. He's putting an exclamation point. He's saying, be happy, happy. Just be really happy, and kind of an in-your-face happy. And so he says, happy, happy, or blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. So he says, if you want to be a happy, happy person in this life, he said, then one of the things you need to make sure in your daily life to make you happy, happy, is that you do not walk in the counsel of ungodly people or ungodly men. In other words, when you are making decisions and choices for your life, when you're in a position where you're having to look at your future and decide what you're going to do with your future, what direction you're going to take, or some great choice or decision that you have to make, he says the happy, happy man, or the happy, happy woman, if you will, the happy, happy person, let's be very politically correct, it's 2016, the happy, happy person, he says, that person is the person that makes sure that when they are seeking direction, when they are seeking counsel, when they are making decisions and choices, that they do not go to unbelievers. They don't go to people who do not value the Word of God. They do not go to people who are not prayerful people. They do not go to people who do not know what thus saith the Lord or what the Lord would feel about a subject. And I say feel. The feeling isn't based on the idea of the person, but we say the Lord feels about that, it's because we have revelation of his feelings, if you will let me say it that way. We have revelation of how he thinks or feels or what how he responds certain things. We understand that from his word. And so he says the happy person is a person who, when they are making decisions and choices in life, they make sure that they're not seeking ungodly counsel, but rather they are seeking counsel from people who know that they're getting a word from the throne of God. Whether they're getting that word from the word, or whether they're getting that direction from prayer, or whether it's because they understand the principles of the Lord. God has principles by which he operates. It is more blessed to give than to receive. That's a principle of the Lord. That's a Bible principle. He said, you know what? He said, if you will give, he said, he will give it back to you. How? Pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall he cause men to give into your bosoms. This is why it is not difficult for me. I can be happy in telling people, if you want to be blessed, you have to give. I'm happy to tell people that if you want to come out of poverty, you have to start giving even out of your poverty. You can't be stingy in your poverty or you will stay in poverty. But if you want to come out of poverty, you've got to learn how to give. And if you'll learn how to give, then God has the freedom then to start lifting you out of that poverty. Now, that's a Bible principle. And so, listen, he said, happy is the man that doesn't seek ungodly counsel, but rather he seeks godly counsel. So the happy person is the poor person that says, while my ungodly friends were telling me to rip people off and to steal stuff from Walmart and to cheat on my taxes and to be greedy and selfish and dishonest, while they were telling me that, he said, the thing that made me happy was that I went and got godly counsel, and that counsel said, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not unto your own understanding, in all of your ways acknowledge him, let him direct your path. And part of him directing my path was that if I would be liberal in my giving, if I would be a free giver, a happy giver, that it would produce happiness in my life. Does that make sense what I'm saying? So he says the first step in a happy person's life is they know where to get good counsel. They know where to get good advice. You know, the Bible says there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof is what? It's death. He says, you know what? There's a way that seems right to the world. When he says a way that seems right unto man, he's not just referring to this individual man, but he's saying in general, in life, there's a way that seems right unto mankind. There's a way that makes sense unto mankind. There's a way that appeals to the flesh or the desires of mankind. There's a way that makes sense to them. He said, but that way, you mark it down, that way will lead to death. It will lead to death spiritually, yes. But you know what? In some cases, it will lead to death physically, yes. In some cases, it will lead to death morally. In some cases, it will lead to death financially. In other words, the end of the way that humanity feels and thinks about things is a pathway of death, a pathway of destruction, a pathway of separation from the principles of Almighty God. Am I making sense right now? So he says, but the happy man, the blessed man, is the man that recognizes that if I want to be happy in my life and if I want to be blessed in my life, then I need to make sure that I'm getting counsel from godly source, that I'm getting counsel from the Word of God, that I'm getting counsel from prayer to my God, that, and I would just throw this in, that even sometimes I better add some fasting to it, because you know what? I'm a body, soul, and spirit. Man is body, soul, and spirit. And my body is attached to certain things. In other words, my body, it can get addicted to things like food. And it can get addicted to things like sleep. And it can get addicted. My body can tap into things that affect how I think and affect what motivates me and affect my sensitivity to the spirit realm. Does that make sense what I'm saying? My body can do that. And so I fast in order to bring my body under subjection. But you know what? I'm a body, but I'm also a soul. And my soul, the scripture says, is the seat of our emotions. In other words, my relationships, those are not body things. Those are soul things. Those are things that happen in the emotions of a man. They happen in the emotions of a person, I should say. Does that make sense what I'm saying? And so sometimes I have to fast. You know what? I may not have a problem with overeating, and I may not have a problem with financial things, and I may not have a problem with being greedy. It may not be a body issue. It may be an emotional thing, but I've got some emotional distractions in my life. Am I making sense right now? And so I have to fast in order to break the stranglehold of the soul or the emotions over me. And I do all that so that my spirit, which is connected to God, can be free to receive freely from God without the distractions of the body and the soul. Now that was a little tangent there for you. But you need to get counsel from the Word of God. You need to get counsel from prayer. You ought to throw fasting in there. But beyond that, you ought to get counsel from people who know how to touch the Lord, seek the Lord, understand His principles. So that's what he says. Number one, if you want to be happy, happy in life, you need to seek godly counsel. Number two, he says, blessed is the man, or happy, happy is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinners. In other words, the happy, happy man is the man who does not begin to behave like those who are sinners. He does not begin to behave like people who walk in opposition in their life to the things and the principles of God. That's what sinners do. If you were just going to sum up what a sinner is somebody who lives their life walking in opposition, an opposite direction from the principles and the precepts and the ideas and the will of Almighty God in their life. It's just that simple. You say, well, they're a sinner. Well, we love to delineate that down to, well, they did this and they did that and they drink and they smoke and they cuss and we do all these things, you know. We sum it up. But really, it is anybody who is living their daily life walking in direct opposition or opposite direction from the will of God, from the principles of God, from the direction of God. Somebody who says, you know what? God wants that, but I want this. God says that, but I'm going to do this. Listen to me. It doesn't matter whether they know that he said it or not. So they just didn't know. You know, the Bible says the time of ignorance God winked at, but no more. It says there was a time because nature itself declares certain things that ought to draw somebody into searching after the Lord. I'm not going to spend any time on that, but that's what the Scripture declares. It says that, you know what, we say, well, they just didn't know, but the Scripture says, no, that excuse doesn't fly, because nature itself should teach men and women that there is some great being out there. And he says, and they ought to search after the Lord, and if they will search after the Lord, the Scripture says they will find him. Now, how they find him may not be at our Pentecostal altar. How they find him may be revelation that comes somehow, I don't know, from God to them in the darkest jungles of Africa or in the driest deserts of Arabia. But he says God will do something. Am I making sense to you right now? God will send a missionary. God will give himself a witness. God will do something. I can't explain what he'll do because I'm not God. But he'll do something. But he said, so blessed or happy, happy is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners. He doesn't involve himself in sinful things. He does not, listen to me very clearly, the happy, happy person is the person who does not walk in an opposite direction of the will of God, the plan of God, or the principles of God. The happy, happy person, rather, is the person who says, I will walk every day to the best of my ability by the help of the Holy Spirit. I will walk in the will of God. I will walk by the principles of God. I will walk according to the Word of God. And you say, but what if they make a mistake? The good news is, the happy, happy person can say, and the Word of God has told me there is a way of escape. There is a way of deliverance. There is a way of redemption. And that is that I repent and I get things right with the Lord. But listen to me. Repentance is not just saying, forgive me. Repentance is saying, now I will change. Make no mistake about it, when you are a follower of Jesus Christ, change will be the order of your life. You will be changing. You'll be changing from what you naturally were to what He wants to supernaturally turn you into. Does that make sense what I'm saying? You will be changed. Your attitude will change. Your actions will change. Your relationships will change. How you treat others will change. Your responses will change. And he said, the happy, happy person is the person that recognizes that I have got to live my life by the Word of God, by the principles of God, by the will of God for my life. That's how I've got to live my life. And that's what's going to make him or her, the person, a happy, happy person. By default, he says, the person who says, not worried about it, not going to seek after it, especially the one who knows and doesn't. He says, that person, I'm telling you, he said, they're not going to be a happy, happy person. You know, Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and have it more. In other words, he says, I don't want to just give you life. I want to give you abundance of life. In other words, what he was saying was, I want to cause your life to be lived on a different plane than the life that other people are living. I want your life to be lived in a different dimension. Others may not be able to always see it. In fact, it may become such a natural thing that you finally don't even recognize you are living in this different dimension. It's an interesting thing to me dealing with people who don't know the Lord. I find it, and it seems more so than ever before. Maybe it's just me. I don't know. Maybe it's my interaction with people. I don't know. But I find it interesting when I listen to people talk and how they describe their life and their feelings and their emotions and how they view life and the unhappiness and the pointlessness of life and the depressions of life and the emptiness of life. And you listen to all of that and you realize, I don't identify with that. I'm not saying that in a way that makes me, I'm not trying to say I'm better. I'm saying I don't understand. I don't identify. I don't identify with that hopelessness. I don't identify with that depression. I'm not talking about never getting depressed. I'm talking about this depression that just, there's no hope, there's no future, there's no point, I may get sad for a day, but you know what? By the end of the day, otherwise, this is too much work being sad. It's just too much work. I got to get over it and get on with the business here at hand, you know. And I don't know how much of that, I'm just trying to be real here. I don't know how much of that is the fact that for all of my adult life and half of my childhood, I have lived with the power of the Holy Spirit in my life, and He's given me abundant living. And as a result of having abundant living, I've been walking in a different dimension or a different realm. Does that make sense what I'm trying to say, Ron? It's not something I woke up and decided to do. It's something that by my new birth, I just did. I just did it. From the time I got the Holy Ghost when I was 9 years old, from the time that I was 9 years old, the Holy Spirit just moved me into a different place. And He did you too if you've got the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Does that mean life's always great? No, that's not what I'm saying. Does that mean everything's just going to be easy and perfect? Absolutely not. Does that mean there's no more challenges or battles or wrestling with things? No, that's not what I said. I didn't say any of that. But I did say that when you have been born again of the water of Spirit, the Bible says you are a new creature. You're not like everybody else. Not just that you speak in other tongues, but you're not like everybody else because you are supposed to be in tune with and operating in a different realm or a different dimension than people who are not born again and thereby not living in and operating in that realm or dimension. Does that make sense? So he says, the happy, happy man or the blessed man is the man who says, I'm not going to take counsel. I'm not going to walk in ungodly counsel. I'm not going to stand where sinners stand. In other words, I'm not going to behave like a sinner in my life. And as someone who's born again, I recognize that there is a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof is death, and I need to live my life to the best of my ability by the help of the Holy Spirit to say the principles that I know about, the Bible truths that I'm aware of, the revelation that God has given me, the understanding that I have, I need to not be careless about living in that, walking in that, embracing that, exercising that understanding in my daily life. I hope that communicates. I shouldn't be careless about those things. If I know the Lord desires certain things, then I ought to try to live to those certain things. If I know the Lord asks certain things, I ought to try to do those certain things. If I know the Lord expects certain things, Will I always do them? I might not. But I at least ought to be trying. And if I fail, there's a place I can go to make things right, get everything reset, and try again. But I ought to be, if I'm going to be a happy, happy person, I ought to be trying to reject the life of the sinner. I'm talking about in me. I'm talking about in me. I'm not talking about in others because I'm not talking about judging people. I'm talking about in me. I should be rejecting the life of the sinner and saying, you know what, that is a pathway God does not approve of. This is a direction God does not bless. That is a decision that God is not pleased with. I can make it, but I'm not going to make it. I can do it, but I'm not going to do it. I can walk that way, but I'm not going to walk that way. Why? Because I want to live a happy, happy life. So happy, happy is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. How many remember me preaching on this before? Anybody remember me preaching on this? Nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. And when I studied this, this seat of the scornful thing is such a powerful thing, because what he's really saying is that he doesn't sit himself down in a place where he begins to sit at the picture here really is sitting at the city gate and giving advice and direction to people. But the advice and the direction he's giving is scornful of the things of God, and therefore scornful of the very things they need in order to live the happy life. In other words, he was saying, this man is the man. Now, this happy, happy man does not sit down with the people that ridicule God, ridicule the people of God, ridicule the plan of God or the ways of God. This man does not let himself get to the place where it is easy to be disrespectful of things that should be considered holy or sacred or righteous or godly. Does that make sense? I know people that have walked away from the faith, and I'm not just talking about Pentecost. I'm talking about they have walked away from their faith in God. And when they walk away, they can't just walk away. They look back, and what you see coming out of them is scornful. They ridicule God. They ridicule Christianity. But then the more dangerous thing even than that is this, that people who are seeking after the Lord, they tell them there's nothing to that. There is nothing to that speaking in tongues. There's nothing to that Holy Ghost. There's nothing to that worship. There is no God. There's nothing to His presence. They become scornful of those things. And he said the happy, happy man does not sit in that place. Because that does not, in fact, if you can picture in your mind, because maybe you know people that are like that, and you recognize those are not happy, happy people. People who ridicule. In fact, I can think of people in my mind right now that I know that they're not even considered. I would not consider them even backslidden necessarily, but I would consider them on the journey. I don't know how else to say that. And the sad thing about that is, what I see out of them, though, is even though they're not necessarily what I would consider backslidden. Now, what God considers and what I consider may not be the same thing, but they're not necessarily backslidden, and yet they are scornful. They talk bad about where they come from. I'm talking about the church they was raised in. They were raised in. They talk bad about the faith that they were raised in. They talk bad about the kind of worship that used to go on. It doesn't take all that. And they're scornful of it, as opposed to just saying, you know what? I don't do that anymore. I don't walk that way anymore. I don't believe that. They can't just walk away. They become scornful. Now, I want you to notice. Did you notice the progression here, though? Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor... He started out walking. Then he was standing. And by the time he got scornful, he'd set himself down on a throne of judgment against God. That's really what he's saying. He started out, he was getting bad advice. He was getting advice and counsel from the wrong sources. He was taking direction and making decisions for life and choices for life based on bad information. All right? And he was walking. But after a little while, because of getting the bad information, the bad counsel, the bad advice, the bad direction, because of that, he says he quit walking and he was standing. You know what? You start getting bad counsel and you won't be progressing in God. He quit progressing. He quit walking. And he started standing. Life just came to a standstill. And where he started standing was with sinners. Because that's who he was getting his counsel and advice from. So, you know what? Birds of a feather. I mean, bad company corrupts good character, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians, I think it's 15 and 53 or something like that. Now, I'm not saying we disassociate with all sinners. That is not what I'm saying. In fact, that would be the wrong approach. But the right approach is to recognize that when it comes time to make decisions in life, choices in life, when I need counsel, when I'm talking about my future, I better make sure I'm going to the right fountain for good information that has eternal life. He said, not only does he stand still, but after standing still for a while, he finds himself sitting down. He's sad. He can't even start walking again if he wants to right now. He's sitting down. And where he is sitting is in a place of judgment against God himself. He is scornful against the things of God. And it started by not going to the right source for good counsel and good advice. Does that make... But the happy, happy man, he says in verse 2, and I'm going to come to a close here in just a second. But the happy, happy man, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He says, let me tell you what the happy, happy man does. He takes the word of God and he makes it the guidepost. He makes it a lamp unto his feet and a light unto his path. He takes the word of God because this is where we get our direction. You know what? If I die tomorrow and a new pastor comes, you better make sure that whatever pastor comes, he stays in this book. If he ever deviates from this book, then you need to get out of here as fast as you can, because this book alone is the word of the eternal God. It is the only source that we get our direction and counsel and guidance and advice from. If he tries to give you counsel and advice that is contrary to this book, then you need to run as fast as you can, because we have to stick with... It's not about what my opinion is or what your opinion is or my philosophy or your philosophy. What does the Word of God say? Hello? And so he says, the happy, happy man is the man that understands, I need the Word of God to be a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my pathway. I need to hide the word of God in my heart that I might not sin against him. How do I prevent myself from sinning against God? He said, I do it by hiding the word of God in my heart. Because if I hide the word of God in my heart, then it will convict me when I get ready to make a bad decision or go in a wrong direction, or when I get ready to disobey, at least I know that I'm doing wrong. Now, there are some people, they make that decision, and that is what it is. They say, I know that it's wrong, and I'm going to do it anyway. But you know what? I'd rather you know that you know than not know at all. I'd rather you have some understanding, because at least then the Word of God can still bring conviction and draw you. And he says, the happy, happy man is the man who delights himself in the Word of God in the day and in the night. Let me say this very clearly. I made this point the other night, but let me make it again very clearly. I would rather you read 3 verses with understanding than 3 chapters with no understanding. I'd rather you find one book of this Bible that you can that speaks to your spirit. Maybe Romans just speaks to your spirit. Then stick with Romans for a while and don't go read the Bagats and Leviticus. Don't get started on the Bagats. All right, does that make sense what I'm saying? You have my permission to avoid the bagats, at least for now. And find something that speaks to your spirit. Listen to me. I'm trying to find the right word. It's not coming to me. But don't lack putting the Word of God into your life simply because, well, I don't understand enough of it. Then just find what you do understand and read that. Okay? Don't feel like you have to read an entire chapter of a day if you can't comprehend it. Just read a verse or two. But get some comprehension out of what you're reading. They said of this blessed man or this happy, happy man, this man who walks in godly counsel, who stands with the righteous, and who is a man that blesses God, because that's really the opposite of the first three things. If you go back very quickly, I'm almost done. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. So what's he do? He walks in godly counsel. The Word of God, prayer, and people. You know, he says, the Bible says that there is safety in the counsel of a multitude, right? So he said he takes good godly counsel. That's what a happy, happy man does. He doesn't stand in the way of sinners, but he behaves himself like somebody who wants to live for God and serve God. All right? He may fail, but he's trying at least. Number three is he is somebody that blesses God and God's will and God's plan and God's principles. That's the opposite of everything else in the first verse. The happy, happy man is a man who delights himself in the law of the Lord day and night. And then verse 3 says, and that happy, happy man shall be like a tree that is planted by the rivers of water. In other words, the happy, happy man is going to be like a tree that is planted by a place of nourishment. It's going to be planted by a place of nourishment, by a river of water. That's what the happy, why is he going to, why is his life a life that is planted by a river of nourishment? Because of the counsel he's got, because of the way he lives, because of who he blesses, and because of the Word of God that he hides in his heart. I'm making sense right now. He says, and therefore that man's life is a life that is planted by a river that nourishes it. Now you got to think, David's a desert person. It's a desert guy. So he's writing about, and he understands the importance of being planted by a river. The New Testament says it this way. It says, if you build your life on Christ, then when the storms come, you will stand. But if you don't build your life on Christ, if you don't build it on the right things, you may build something. We tell people that if you don't live for God, you're not going to build anything. No, you may build something, but it will not stand the test of time. It will not, and it certainly will not stand the test of eternity. And so he says, the happy, happy man understands, I've got to have good counsel. I've got to live a righteous life. I've got to be somebody that blesses God. I've got to be somebody that is in the Word of God and letting the Word of God be in me. And then I will be like a tree that is planted by a river of nourishment. And he will bring forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. In other words, good things are going to come out of his life. Good fruit's going to come from his life. He's not going to just wither and be blown away. This isn't the kind of guy that you cleaning out of the gutters ever fall. Maybe you don't get the joke. Anyway, his leaf doesn't. I got leaves in my gutters. And so anyway, thought about it. He said, this guy doesn't fall. He doesn't wither up and fall off. And whatever he does prospers. I want to point this out. It doesn't prosper just because he does it. It prospers because what he's doing has been guided by godly counsel, it has been guided by a righteous life, it has been guided by blessing God, and it has been guided by being in the Word of God. That's why. Does that make sense? That's why what he does prospers, because the things he's doing them because of godly counsel and godly living and blessing God and being in the Word of God. And the ungodly are not so. But they are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. They're like the tumbleweeds. I remember driving out west years ago when I was evangelizing. And I'd never seen, never been out west, and driving through Arizona and New Mexico, places like that. And they actually, if you've been out there, you've seen they got fences that run along the highway. And I thought at first they were there to say, this is somebody's territory. You know, this land belongs to somebody. Don't get on it. But I realized later on, that's not what they're there for. They're there to stop the tumbleweeds. Because the tumbleweeds, if you've been out there, Brother McNeely, they're about half the size of your car sometimes. They're huge. I mean, they're big. I'm not talking about a wee. I mean, these things are big. And they come blowing across a good clip and hit it, or hits you. He said, that's what the ungodly are like. They're just blown around wherever the wind takes them. Hello, I'm almost done. Give me two more minutes and I'll be done. The ungodly are just blown. And I'm going to tell you, if you live your life not like the happy, happy man, but like the other man that he's describing in this passage. If you live your life like that man, that's what you're going to be like. Your life is going to be blown around. I'm just telling you. You're going to be a double-minded person because that's what life's going to do. It's going to make you double-minded. I deal with them all the time. People who have all the potential to be successful in life, and they're not. Because they're blown by life instead of being planted by the river of life. He says, therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. He says, because they don't live right, they're not going to stand in the day of judgment. Now, when he says they're not going to stand, he's saying they're not going to be able to stand. That's what he's really saying. In other words, they're not going to have any defense. They're not going to be able to say, but let me in. They can't say that. And they will have no place in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. He says, the happy, happy man. Now, what's he calling him? By the end of the chapter, he's calling him the righteous man. The blessed man, the happy, happy man, he is the righteous man. Righteousness is simple. Rightness with God. Very simple. What made this man righteous? Well, I've been preaching about it for 40 minutes. He took godly counsel. He lived a godly life to the best of his ability. He blessed his God when he got the opportunity. And he was somebody who was given to the Word of God in their life. And it made him somebody who could be considered righteous because he lived his life to the best of his ability in rightness with his God. Well, praise the Lord. Let's lift our hands all over the house right now. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your goodness tonight. I thank you for your word tonight. Lord, it is our desire to live right with you, to live godly with you. God, this is a difficult time we're living in, and you said in your word that in the last days, everything that can be shaken will be shaken. And that if it were possible in the last days, even the very elect would be deceived. God, let it not be so among us, but let us be like the people that are planted by the river of life. Let us be like the righteous man that you know his way because we are people who in this trying time seek godly counsel. We are people who live righteous lives. We, to the best of our ability, by the help of your Holy Spirit. And we are people who bless our God at every opportunity. And we are people who are in your word and know your word so that it can be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. We pray that now in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said in Jesus' name, praise God.